This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Anyway, the Browns play the New Orleans Saints coming up on Sunday. That the afternoon show has said is a must-win, or Kevin Stefanski has committed a fireable offense. They must beat the New Orleans Saints or Kevin Stefanski, he's as good as gone, according to the afternoon boys. Let's go to Mary Kay Cabot. She's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Mary Kay, is this Kevin Stefanski's personal Super Bowl on Sunday? It is in New Orleans. They've hosted a lot of them.
No, I absolutely don't think so. Remember, just over the bye week, Andrew Berry told us absolutely how Kevin is an amazing coach and the coach of the future of this football team. So I really highly doubt that puts him on the hot seat by the next week. I don't see it that way. I would be shocked if anything like that happened. And furthermore, I really don't see them making those monumental moves during the season.
Well, then how big is the rest of the season? I see a lot of Browns fans grappling with how much they need to either win or lose for draft positioning. But what does Jimmy Haslam think?
Well, nobody knows what Jimmy Haslam thinks right now. He's playing it close to the vest. We don't know exactly who he's consulting with or talking to. I think he's trying to let this season play out. And, of course, when you look at it, and if you look at it through the prism of the Deshaun Watson situation didn't work out, then I think you have to take all of that into account. And if you're looking at it as though this organizational decision to acquire Deshaun Watson hasn't worked out the way that any of you thought it would, then I think it's a little difficult to go firing people over that.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us on the show. So do you think that there is any thoughts, because if a lot of fans are going, well, they go right to Mike Vrabel. Do you think that there's any thought that he would transition to Mike Vrabel at the end of the year?
You know, once again, we don't really know exactly what Jimmy's thinking right now. It seemed to me, just in trying to take the vibe check from the Andrew Berry presser, that Jimmy isn't thinking about blowing the whole thing up. I don't know if that will change. I don't know if that's true at this point. I think anything that you're hearing out there on, you know, shows or from prognosticators or whatever, I just don't think anybody has a handle on what Jimmy is thinking about this right now. But what we do know is that he likes alignment in this organization. He feels he has it. If they look at this as there were so many injuries, extenuating circumstances this year, then these guys will have a chance to continue what he felt they could do when he gave them an extension at the beginning of the season.
Do the Browns have talent?
They do have talent, and that's why I think they can get back on the winning track next year if they figure out their quarterback situation. You have enough talent at almost every single position to build on that. I think if you added five, maybe six key pieces to this team, including a good quarterback, a good starting quarterback, then I think you can be right back in the thick of it and be contending. I don't think it requires any kind of a tear down or a massive rebuild.
Does that QB come out of the draft, or does it become a veteran from somewhere else?
I would probably guess a veteran from somewhere else right now, just because I keep hearing that the quarterbacks in the draft, which I haven't had a chance to really study them a lot myself yet, but it's just not supposed to be that kind of draft. That doesn't mean that they won't draft one, because in my mind, if you have a high first-round pick, I'd rather that you take a chance on a quarterback than pretty much almost any other position unless you know you have a slam dunk something else there. If you've got a Justin Jefferson or something like that, then you're going to go ahead and do that. But short of that, take a chance on a quarterback that you think could be successful, because you're probably not going to be that high up again, or you don't want to be that high up again in future years. So it's tough to have a high draft pick, or presumably a high draft pick, in a non-good quarterback class. They're going to have to be really, really creative and look around elsewhere too.
Mary Kay Cabot with us. Now that Kevin Stefanski stepped in to explain what Jed Wills really meant with his business decision comments, is that controversy over? Do you think the fans will now relax a little bit on the criticism?
Well, I don't know that the fans will ever really relax on the criticism of Jed. Jed has been a lightning rod for criticism since his rookie season, since he was going out there playing hurt on that ankle. He's never really recovered from the heat that he's taken from that year, and then you just keep spinning that forward. So I called him the other day in a story, the most vilified Brown after Deshaun Watson. So he's got a tough PR campaign ahead of him, but it might not matter, because it just doesn't seem like he's going to be around all that long here. Now, there is a world, and I wrote this in a column the other day, there is a world in which he does come back here as perhaps maybe your third tackle, or maybe you look at DeJuan Jones for the next 8 games and you think, geez, maybe he is better off on the right side. I think that's why it's important to get this evaluation over the last 8 games. Can he handle the demanding left tackle spot? If not, maybe you give Jed another look. But his remarks, his comments, they were not deal breakers. Jed has never been a player that has really spoken out, ruffled feathers. He's been a good soldier. He's taken coaching well. He's taken hard coaching well from Bill Callahan. And I don't think that this has to mean the end for him.
So he might be back next year?
It's possible. It is. Yeah. It's definitely possible. As again, it would have to be a situation where at the right price, you're bringing him back as perhaps.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
A swing tackle, that's why he's getting some work right now on both the left side and the right side. When you find a tackle who can go out there and play good football for you, maybe not amazing football for you, but good football at the right price, you don't want to necessarily let those guys walk out of the door easily, because they are kind of hard to come by.
Is that a failure by Andrew Berry, considering he was the number 10 overall pick and he would be doing what essentially James Hudson does for them?
It's certainly not ideal. It's not what you expect from your number 10 overall pick, not at all. Especially when you look at Tristan Wirfs at number 13 for the Bucs and what he's been able to accomplish. He's playing on the left side now. He's an excellent left tackle. He's rated number 1 in the NFL by Pro Football Focus. He has a contract that now pays him $28 million a year. So what I would have to say that you would have to count that as a fail.
All right, Mary Kay, I know you got a chance to dig a little deeper by having a conversation with Jordan Hicks over the last few days and his thoughts about JOK. What is the latest on JOK?
Well, that type of information has been hard to come by. I've tried, you have to be respectful, obviously, of a person's privacy as well. But in the, in the interim, you also try to find out what you can about what's going on with a person. And everyone's playing it very, very close to the vest. And part of it is that I don't think they really know yet what the future holds. They have to let the neck injury heal before you can determine when or if he's coming back to football. But I thought that Jordan Hicks' comments were pretty sobering yesterday, and they really gave me pause when I had to stop and think about exactly what he said. And the moment when he said what he said, I thought, this sounds really, really serious. And so the number one concern for everyone, I know, fans, organization, teammates, is for the well-being of Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. Let's hope that he's going to be fine going forward and that he's going to be healthy and be able to just live the kind of life that he wants to live. And then after that, if he gets to play more football, then I think that'll be a bonus.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I will tell you, we're a little surprised to hear.
Yeah, I did a double take, Mary Kay, because obviously we hadn't really heard much about his status at all. Obviously, guys wishing him well and everything, but to hear that, I mean, it definitely sounds, and maybe they're just being precautious, whatever. But that sounds like they're still kind of nervous about what's happening here with him and his, not forget his football status, but beyond that.
Well, that's what it sounded like. And it was coming from a player who suffered a limb and life-threatening injury last year in Jordan Hicks. He had the compartment syndrome and he almost and could have lost his leg. It got very, very scary for him last year. And he's grateful to be able to come back from that. So he knows what it's like to have this kind of an injury where you just don't know what the future holds. Now, this is not to say that JOK's career is over. No one knows that yet. He could be back. I mean, Jordan Hicks' career could have been over, and he came back after four games. So you just don't really know where this thing is going to go. But anytime you're dealing with a neck injury like that, it is very serious, and the primary concern is him just healing that whole area and getting well.
All right, Mary Kay, obviously the numbers for Nick Chubb have not resembled anything Nick Chubb has done his entire NFL career. Is there reason to believe that he could snap out of this and turn into vintage Nick Chubb?
Well, the thing to remember about this kind of a knee injury and knee surgery is the fact that these guys quite often are not back to themselves in the year after they get back from the surgery. Sometimes it takes another year after that before you really start to resemble your former self, and that will probably be the case with Nick. Just the fact that he's even out there at all, I find it to be absolutely remarkable and unbelievable accomplishment. We know what went into it. We don't even know the half of what went into it. We know what they've told us and what we've heard, but you don't really understand how grueling these rehabs are unless you can actually see it, which I think we will be seeing a lot of his when a documentary is going to be coming out at some point. But I do think that you will see Nick Chubb running in a more robust fashion next season than you might see for the rest of this season. And then, of course, the Browns and Nick just have to decide if that's going to be here or not.
Mary Kay Cabot on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Will we see DTR? Is Kevin Stefanski open to seeing DTR, or is that only if Jameis gets hurt?
Well, I don't think it's just if Jameis gets hurt. I think performance will factor into it, too. And if Jameis can cut down on the interceptions and play good, clean football, then it's his job to keep for as long as he goes out there and does that. In the event that he's throwing multiple picks, the same thing will happen probably to him that happened to Joe Flacco in Indianapolis. No way is Kevin going to continue to sit there and watch pick after pick. So I think at that point, you probably would see some of DTR, some of Bailey Zappe. And then when you get to those late, late games and you know that, you know, maybe it might be time just to take a look at someone else, maybe one of those guys, Dorian or Bailey, will get in there.
Mary Kay, thank you very much for the time. We appreciate your time and your candor. All the best.
Thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for having me.
Mary Kay Cabot on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline from the Cleveland Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.